This podcast is brought to you by Avocado Mattress. And if healthy, comfortable sleep matters to you, this is one organic brand worth knowing. That's because what you sleep on actually matters.
Most mattresses rely on synthetic foams and chemical materials that trap heat, break down over time, or off-gas. Avocado does it differently. Their mattresses are handcrafted with natural materials, organic latex, organic wool, and organic cotton, designed to be naturally cooling, incredibly supportive, and long-lasting. They're certified organic by GOTS and meet multiple non-toxic and safety certifications. Made for people who care about their health and the environment without sacrificing comfort. I love that Avocado proves you don't have to choose between comfortable, supportive sleep and your values. And now, during our Earth Month sale, you can get up to 15% off Avocado mattresses. Just go to avocadogreenmattress.com. Get up to 15% off at avocadogreenmattress.com. Avocadogreenmattress.com.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage.
In association with AIR.
To Iran, or rather to the issue of Iran and the Middle East, with the latest saying that there has been that extension of the ceasefire between Israel and Lebanon, but a heightening of tensions between Iran and the US. With us is Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, now military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. Sean, part of that saber rattling and increase of tensions is Donald Trump saying that he has given a shoot to kill order to any to the US Navy in terms of how they deal with any boat putting mines in the Strait of Hormuz. Am I missing something? Up until now, was the US Navy standing idly by while that happened?
Yeah, good morning, Anton. I mean, I think what you're actually seeing, we're seeing a couple of symptoms on the ground, but the disease is the fact that President Trump doesn't have any good options going forward. And I think that's why, as you're saying, you know, there's shoot to kill any boat seen mining that Strait of Hormuz, but he's also said that minesweepers are busy clearing that area as well, which there's no verification for that. Whereas the Iranians are very, very clear, you end the blockade, we will start talking. And President Trump desperately needs the talks to start because he's got his hands deeply in the mangle at the moment. But it's very evident that if Iran actually has a lot of control and leverage. And I think that's why you're seeing some of the frustration coming out of the White House at the moment.
And I'm intrigued by how they're handling the propaganda of this, because they released videos of Iranian commandos storming and seizing cargo vessels in the Strait of Hormuz. They are clearly very conscious of the pressure that this is putting on the global economy and, as a function of that, the US.
Yeah, I mean, this is, I say, it's all about power and leverage. If you remember just a few days ago, the Iranians pushed four ships at the US blockade. Remember, their blockade is in a slightly different place. It's on the Gulf of Oman rather than actually on the Strait of Hormuz itself. And by running those ships directly at the blockade, one of them was intercepted by the Americans, but it was tracked for 6 hours by a warship until such time as they couldn't stop it. So they had to fire on it, using a 5-inch gun to actually take out the engine room and then board it and seize it. And that feels like it was a deliberate play by Iran, because they said we were going to have retaliation. And they've subsequently, I think over the last 36 hours, they've attacked three vessels. They've seized two of them as well. And as you say, they're releasing this video, some of which apparently, when they did some analysis on it, some of it was not videoed at the time. It was videoed some hours later, and therefore stage managed. Everybody's very evident of the PR value of this, not only for an international audience, but for Iran, it's demonstrating to their own audience that they are neither beaten nor subjugated by the Americans.
And what do we read into the fact that the US press secretary, when asked, said that Donald Trump has not made any firm deadline in respect of Iran returning to the talks table? Whatever about setting a red line for the talks, not setting a deadline for them to occur, it's hard to read that as anything like a very weak position.
Anton, I could not agree with you more. That I think it's really weird. President Trump loves his deadlines, doesn't he? And by extending this ceasefire without actually putting the burners on, I think it just genuinely shows he's got no good options. I mean, one of them is to continue the fighting. He's been threatening to take out the bridges and the energy infrastructure. But quite frankly, the military action so far has not forced Iran to capitulate. It looks very unlikely that it'll do the same again. You then look at the second option is to negotiate. Bluntly, most of us military analysts believe this is the only way that's going to end. But if you're going to negotiate, you need to do compromise. Compromise means you you know, if one side has leverage, you're going to have to compromise more. And at the core of that is the nuclear compromise. And the was it 2015 when the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action was signed up? Obama signed it, 2 years of negotiation. If I was Iranian, that's what I would put on the table again. And the trouble is Trump ripped that up and has been very dismissive. So he can't sign that. And the third option is he just walks away. And however bizarre it sounds, I wouldn't be at all surprised if that's the favoured option, because Trump can then claim victory. He had three objectives to the war: destroy their nuclear weapons capability, stop them building the ballistic missiles, and stop them threatening their neighbours. And the only thing that would be left unresolved would be the Strait of Hormuz. And he'd look at European partners and say, well, you were useless. You didn't help out. You can solve that. So I think we wouldn't end up doing it militarily. It would be diplomatic. So I do think we've got ourselves in a situation now where Trump is flailing, looking for options, and there are no good ones out there.
And would that mean, if the scenario that you're describing comes to pass, would that mean a withdrawal of US Navy ships from the region?
Almost certainly, because, I mean, there is, when I was in the military, we used to war game this, and I've actually played Iran in the war game. You know, Iran has a lot more patience and a lot more military capability in the Strait of Hormuz that America can deal with. What America has to do is take its hands out of the mangle and leave. And then all sides, even the Iranians, they desperately need the Strait of Hormuz open for their own financial viability. Their number one priority is survival of the regime. And there's a lot of money that they can't make at the moment. So if America pulls away from it, then the Middle East partners, the Iranians and the Europeans could end up helping clear the mines and actually let the dust settle a bit. The problem of that, of course, is that that will leave Iran emboldened. The Iranian government will have leverage and influence. And that's definitely not the strategic outcome that President Trump would have anticipated when he started this war.
Very much appreciate your time this morning, Sean. Sean Bell, former fighter pilot, now military analyst and co-host of the Red Matrix podcast. If you are a cyclist, if you cycle recreationally, if it is part of your commute, and if you have views on the experience, maybe fling them into us on 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents, or you can use 087 1400 106 on WhatsApp, because
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage, in association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.